I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news now for 30 years in two languages all over the world and here in the U.S., and I've interviewed four U.S. presidents, worked at four of the United States' major television networks, been fired by a bunch. I believe news should be honest and direct and impactful. And this is Direct Impact. You know, there's this video that continues to circulate seemingly everywhere. It's a clip of Joe Biden looking like, well, in this video, to be fair, he looks a little bit like an Alzheimer's patient who got lost in a nursing home. Look, I don't mean to sound mean. I'm not trying to be mean about this. But he really does look befuddled, confused, not exactly sure of where he is. And it seems like the more he thinks about it, the more confused he seems to get.
Mr. President, thank you.
Watch what happens now when the announcer starts to talk to try and give the president directions. He's helping him out. The president appears to get even more confused.
At the end of such a momentous event, the word thank you seems kind of inadequate. But for all the millions whose lives will be saved, for the communities where life will be transformed, thank you. So thank you, President Biden.
Now, if you're wondering what is happening here, the answer is actually pretty simple. It's called old age. I mean, look, so I did a little work for us here. I looked up what happens when we all turn 80, and here's what I found. And basically, I'm going to read to you what the experts on this aging say. Physically, our bones tend to shrink in size and density, which makes us weaker. Our muscles, it says here, also lose strength, endurance, and flexibility, which affects our coordination, stability, and our balance. And now let's see what it says about our minds at 80. Our brain actually shrinks, particularly in the frontal cortex. And yes, that means our memory declines. As a result, memory tasks become much, much more difficult. Now, look, I'm not saying that an 80-year-old can't be smart and can't be happy and can't even be physically fit in some cases. It's just, all I'm saying is, it's not the norm. It's not the norm. And to be president of the United States?
Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers.
So, is it age or just the type of thing that can happen to anyone? The answer to that question is pretty simple and also complex. But one cannot ignore that this type of thing has happened more than once now to Mr. Biden, like these videos that we see on, you know, on the Googles, as they say. And we also can't ignore the fact that he's happens to be the oldest president ever. In fact, you know who are the two oldest presidents in the history of the U.S.? The last two. That's right. Prior to Joe Biden, the oldest man to ever occupy the White House was Donald Trump, who's now celebrating his 77th birthday. Newspapers like the New York Times are now writing about this problem, should we say? Gerontocracy. That's what it's called. Gerontocracy. Look at this headline that asks the question, if Americans are stuck on gerontocracy, how tired are Americans of the very old generations always running this country? According to a CNBC poll, 70% of Americans say they don't want Mr. Biden to run for a second term. 70%. Saying they don't want him to run again. That's a lot of people. Is it possible, though, that our country encourages this? Actually, our system encourages old, tired, and staid politicians? And if so, why? Why do you think? Some political scholars remind us that the system is skewed toward conformity. In other words, why rock the boat? Why change things when there are so many people making so much money just as things are, with the same older people in charge? Does the average American benefit from this? How about young people? The answer seems obvious. I want to show you a chart now. Look at this chart. It pretty much details who votes in America. Look at that. The percentage of 60 to 80-year-olds who vote in presidential elections is more than 70%. The percentage of the older people voting is 70%. And when we look at those who are 30 to 44, that percentage goes down to about 50%. In other words, half don't even bother to vote. And now look what happens when we look at 18 to 29-year-olds. The number goes down to roughly 40%. In other words, the majority of Americans in that particular category don't vote. So in America, the older you are, the more likely you are to vote. And the older you are, the more likely you are to get elected as well and stay elected. And with each passing year, this gerontocracy gets more and more pronounced. And joining us now is Edward Woodson. He's a TV and radio host whose name has appeared on too many periodicals to name. And he's worked for probably too many outlets to name as well. Let's start with this. There have only been two presidents in the United States in their 70s. And guess who they are? Guess who they are?
Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, what do you make of that? What does that say about us as a country?
I think what it represents is that the boomers aren't ready to let go, right? You know, you've got this this boomer generation, which, by the way, if you look at the birth, you know, of the boomer generation, it's such a long generation, right? I think it's 1947 to 1964. So you've got we're coming to the end of the boomer generation now. And I think part of that is that the boomer generation doesn't want to let go. And I think that's what it is.
Well, there's something that many are writing about now. It's called gerontocracy. And to me, I mean, I don't know what it means to you, but to me, it means too many entrenched old people in our system of government who are going to probably remain there for years and years. And like you said, they don't want to let go. Good or bad, though? Good or bad?
Yeah, you know, I'm conflicted about this because I know this has been a media narrative for the last week now. You know, and by the way, I wonder why that is. Is it because the Democrat Party wants to push Biden out? Right.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Recently, and I think a lot of Americans have seen this. And for our audience overseas, I think you'll find this quite interesting. President Biden is in a news conference and he calls out Congresswoman Jackie Walorski.
Right.
In fact, we have the video. We're going to play it right here. Okay, now we're coming out of the video. Did you see that? I mean, he's asking if she's in the room and she's dead. She had just died in a car accident. And Whoa. He knew it and everybody knew it. I mean, I'm just watching that moment and I'm thinking to myself, God bless him, but is it Alzheimer's? Is it, what do you make of that moment?
Well, look, that's not an isolated moment, Rick. I mean, we've had other moments like this, right? And a lot of people in Washington, a lot of people have had whispers that perhaps Joe Biden is, early onset of dementia, Alzheimer's, right? I mean, it's natural progression at his age to be that way. So I think that what we're seeing too is slowly but surely, you're seeing this with the, you know, the documents and, you know, as a matter of fact, today they just searched the Rehoboth House, you know, the DOJ, it went in there. And I think this is a slow roll to kind of take him out and possibly bring in somebody younger, some new
well,
blood.
I mean, we'll talk about the numbers in a little bit. And by the way, let me just ask you, do you see him running again? Do you think there's any possibility he can run for a second term?
I I think that maybe he might want to, but I feel like the forces, I think after the midterms, when he made that announcement, right, saying that he was going to run or possibly run, I think you already kind of started to see the writing on the wall, and you kind of started seeing, look, you know, there's no coincidence that Gavin Newsom now is making a big play. You know, you've got talk of, you know, bringing in new blood, frankly. You know, you...
Across the board, by the way. I mean, because we could talk about, we could talk about, I mean, look at the Republican side. There's Trump, right? And I mean, say what you want about him. Guy doesn't email, doesn't text, barely knows how to use technology. And his reading skills, well, watch.
In STEM fields where women have been truly underrepresented, really, I guess you could say underrepresented.
Trump's not as old. I don't think he's got the mental deficiencies that we outwardly see in Biden, but he's kind of an old geezer too, no?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, a boomer that doesn't want to let go. I mean, and look, part of that is we're living longer. We're being told, hey, you know, 60 is a new 40. No, 60. You know, so we've been told that for a long time, right?
And if 60, then what is 80?
It's 80. It's 80.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we're told that constantly, right? Right. We've been sold that, you know, women have been told, don't worry, you can put off having kids until you're, you know, 40. You can have it all, girl. But the reality is that age does play a part, right? Physiologically, yeah. With our mental acuity and what have you. So, you know, there's something to be said about having new blood.
There was actually a movement that started in 2016. I don't know if you remember it. I remember seeing it. And we actually have some signs that we're going to be able to put up. So people around the world and listening to us can be made aware of it. It was actually a movement that's called Everybody Sucks. It's and there are signs that came up everywhere. Americans are generally just dissatisfied with their political system and, more importantly, their political choices. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that's largely true. But how long, Rick, have we gone through election cycles where we've said, this person is the lesser of two evils? How much have we done that? I know in my lifetime and yours as well, we've done that. We've kind of looked up and go, you know, I guess this guy is, I'm not crazy about this guy, but let me go ahead and vote for him because he's the lesser of two evils. And I think we've had those choices for a long time. I do think actually they do all suck, you know, but there are larger reasons, I think, for that.
Let me ask you this try and narrow it down to the two guys who could be running again. In the next presidential election, I'll tell you what my buddies say. My Democratic buddies say there's no way in hell that they would support a Biden presidency. The guy's already too old and out to lunch. My Republican buddies are telling me they're not comfortable following or backing a Trump presidency because they think he's just gone too far. He looks tired, too much drama, yada, yada, yada. Bring on somebody else. So we got two leading candidates, I suppose, at least the guys hogging all the attention, neither one of which is really selling themselves or is getting buy-in right now from the American public, or at least the voting public. You say what?
I think that's largely true. But, you know, how many times have we seen, like early on in elections, right, where, you know, you had Jeb Bush was the front runner, Scott Walker, Rudy Giuliani. I mean, we go on and on and on, and someone emerges, right? You can even go back to a Jimmy Carter who just emerged out of nowhere, a Bill Clinton, a Barack Obama, right? So I don't know if we necessarily know who that candidate is right now. I think it's too early to tell. But I do agree that I don't think it is going to be Biden or Trump. I think, you know, more than likely, you know, maybe we don't know. You know, people talking about DeSantis, and then on the other side, you know, I don't know if even the Democrats really have a bench, because who are we talking about here? Buttigieg? I mean, they're trying to oust Kamala as we speak. I think on the Democrat side,
do you think Buttigieg can get some tailwind?
No,
do you think America's ready to vote for a guy who is openly gay?
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think he's just incompetent. He's a small town mayor from South Bend, Indiana. Like, what's he really done nationally?
Yeah. Well, he's eloquent. He's very eloquent. You got to give him his due.
Like
whenever he speaks, he puts words together very nicely. But listen to my question, though.
Okay.
Do you think America's, at this point, not you, I'm not asking you for your opinion, America as we know it, as you and I know it, would it be willing to vote for a guy who's openly gay?
I don't think people care about that, honestly. I really don't. At this point.
Edward Woodson is a journalist. He's a TV and a radio host. Obviously, he's not afraid to say how he sees things in terms of how the politics of the United States of America stands right now. He's joining us to have this conversation about whether, interestingly enough, no country for old presidents. And whether that's America, that's what we have become in this country. But it goes further. And what I want to talk about when we come back from the break is I want to talk about what the specifics are that caused this, that has put us here, and how we could possibly change these conditions. Thanks again. You're talking to you're listening to Rick Sanchez with Edward Woodson. We'll be right back. By the way, I'd like to continue this conversation with you. What do you say we do that, huh? We can do this on Twitter. My handle there is Rick Sanchez TV. Rick Sanchez TV on Twitter. I'll see you there. But when we come back, more on these latest polls about how Americans feel about the age of their president and their leaders. What's happening here? Stay with us.
I live in a city where the temperature is 3 degrees higher already from the neighboring townhoods. You know why? Because the other townships haven't chopped off the trees. But in Dhaka, in the name of development and in our pursuit to become a capital like Singapore, we are all going for urbanization and just covering all the greens with concrete. So when you destruct nature, it takes a revenge on you.
С учетом того, что на Украине с 2014 года шла гражданская война, для черной трансплантологии Украина стала это просто золотым дном.
Это Израиль, это Германия, Канада, Франция. Они очень заинтересованы в украинцах, потому что это дешевый материал, платить много не надо.
Там были найдены тела, которые находились без органов.
Бойцов скрывали на линии боевого соприкосновения.
Когда будет произведена демилитаризация Украины, будет военный трибунал, будет отдельное слушание по черным трансплантологам. Большой и очень серьезный судебный процесс.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. And I want to ask you a question, which goes right to really the heart of democracy, right? And it's this. Who do you think chooses the people who represent us? Well, if you go by the argument that you can't win an election in the United States without the right amount of money, then it stands to reason that those who win are the ones who can raise the most money. Now, if that money comes from all of us, that would be a good measure of who we really like. But guess what? It doesn't. It doesn't even come close. In fact, look at this pie chart from opensecrets.org. They measure who gives money to candidates. 48% of the donations comes from very wealthy people. 23% comes from super PACs. Those are companies, sectors, and special interests that want something from the politicians. They're huge, and they got a lot of dough. Only 13% comes from regular voters. Only 13%. And by the way, even that number is said to be exaggerated because oftentimes these wealthy people, these funders, they disguise their donations by giving the money to their family members, their kids, and then they turn it in. And it looks like it's coming from regular people, but it ain't coming from regular people. So who's choosing our politicians? Who's making sure the same people remain and that the system remains the same? Let's talk about that. We're back with Edward Woodson talking about No Country for Old Presidents, which is kind of the state of things right now in the United States. And we're trying to see if we can help figure out why America is in this state. And there's a couple of things that really come into play. One of them, I'm just thinking out loud right now because I just looked at some numbers. Most of the people who vote in the United States, or the biggest number, are in their 60s and 70s. They're voting for somebody who reminds them of them, no?
Sure. And look, as much as we want to act like, you know, you do True the Vote, people get out the vote, all that stuff, young people don't vote. I mean, they'll go to rallies, they'll talk about it, they'll do videos, but when it comes down to voting, they actually don't vote. And those are the numbers, those are statistics. So maybe, in a sense, we're giving the voters what they want, right?
Well, or is it, Edward, that the system wants old voters and skews toward old voters? I mean, for example, young guy in his 20s, maybe his 30s, or a young woman in her 20s, maybe her 30s, she's got a job. She's working, putting in 50 hours a week, and they want her to go and wait in line for 2 hours, maybe three, who the hell knows, depends on where she lives, so that she can wait in line to vote in the presidential election. And I mean, yeah, you're right, for her, it doesn't matter that much, but they're not making it easy. Whereas the old retired guy, hey, I got nothing else to do. Bob and I are gonna go play golf, and when we're done, we're gonna go over there and then we're gonna go get a drink. Makes sense for the older person, not for the younger person.
Well, look, I think there's actually more opportunity now to vote than ever. You've got so much early voting, absentee voting. There's, you know, I think back to, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was, you know, you voted basically election day, right? So now there's actually more, there really is more opportunity to vote today than there ever has been. Well, and I think it comes down to motivation. I think that it's not as important. Like, I think that people used to think that it was a civic duty, that it was part of being an American, part of the fabric of America, that people would be like psyched to vote. And I don't think that that is really necessarily present.
And why?
Today.
Okay. You're onto something. Why? Americans used to feel like this is my duty. I'm a patriot. I love my country. This is something I got to do. Today, most people look at these candidates, look at this system, and they go,
yeah, we've increasingly gotten more cynical. And maybe it's because we were privy to so much information. We have so much information, right? And it's almost overload, and then we don't really know anything, right? So you, for instance, you've got people that are Googling and doing all this stuff, but yet they can't recall anything. And so I don't know, maybe it's because of the vapidness of our culture.
Whoa,
and our society.
What about this? What about, and what you're referring to is cynicism, and I get it, right? I mean, there is a hell of a lot of cynicism in the system right now. Probably as much in our country right now as there's ever been, right? And I got to figure that a lot of these people are looking at, for example, the big donors and how much money they put into these guys, both left and right, by the way. They give it to the Democrats, they give it to the Republicans.
Sure.
And you're sitting out there and you're going, okay, they want me to vote, but what the hell difference is my vote going to make compared to this guy who's given this guy $100,000 or $500,000 jointly to make sure that they represent their point of view and not mine? And wouldn't you think that those big donors want the Bidens in office, want the old people in office? Wouldn't they want the people who've been there for years and years and years because they've been working them for years and years and years and they know what to expect from them?
Sure, and they're the same age. Think about it. So the people that are in power are the same age as the people that are running. Think about it. You got these CEOs, they're not going anywhere either.
Yeah.
So you've got this block of concentrated power, right, amongst, I hate to say this, you know, global elites, corporations, corporate heads, CEOs, and they're actually skewing older as well. So you've got this whole block of power, and it's just human nature. Do you want to give up power?
But,
no.
But is it their age, or is it their desire to monetarily manipulate the system?
Well, I think it's the latter, sure. But age, you know, you've been around a while, so again, you don't want to give it up. You don't want to give up power. Nobody wants to give up power once you have power.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's what's also going on. And look, these, again, I go back to the example of the boomers. Boomers are, you know, they're not going away anytime soon.
Edward Woodson, TV and radio host, good enough to join us to have this really important conversation, and it was a good one. Thanks,
Rick. Thanks for having me. You're a great American.
Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. It's simple, really. We want to de-silo the world somehow. You know, we've got to stop living in these little silos where one group believes one thing and they never talk to the other guys. These boxes. Truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope that we can give you direct impact.